Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey,
good
Walker,
afternoon, where applicable.
Tell our folks, Wesley, Ed Battagliano, and Brian Fisher are going to be in Columbus, Ohio area.
That's right. They will be in Dublin, Ohio, which is just outside of Columbus.
Okay.
And they'll be there tomorrow night, October 2nd, beginning at 6:30. Let me get up the details here. Here's where you will need to go, the website, in order to register.
It's a free event, but you have to register.
That's right. Here's the website to go and register for the In God We Trust Town Hall meeting with Brian Fisher, Ed Battagliano, and Wesley Wildman tomorrow night in Dublin, Ohio. afa.net/Dublin. afa.net/Dublin is where you can go to register, find out the address for the event.
Yeah.
Once again, tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m.
Now, if you go to Dublin, Ireland, they're not going to be there. You got the wrong Dublin.
You might have a good time.
Yeah, that's an important detail there.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
So Dublin, Ohio, tomorrow. Check that. Again, free, but you have to register to get your free tickets, so to speak, because we have to have crowd control. You're listening to the radio program today's Issues. Steve Jordahl in with us. Steve, what you got, my friend?
I know you guys have been very ably talking the Kavanaugh issue, and there's a lot of stuff to go over there. I wanted to bring two more things from that, and this is kind of how dirty this thing is getting. I have in my hand here, and I will pass around to you, and Walker will upload this onto our Facebook page, if you so please. This is Illinois Times editorial cartoonist Chris Britt, B-R-I-T-T. He has a cartoon out today, and it has, well, let me set this up. Do you remember in the Kavanaugh, when he defended himself on Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
It happened after we were on the air, so we were never able to play, but he was talking about how his daughter wanted to pray for Ms. Ford, and it sounded like this. This was clip 8.
I'm not questioning that Dr. Ford may have been sexually assaulted by some person in some place at some time, but I have never done this to her or to anyone. That's not who I am. It is not who I was. I am innocent of this charge. I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers. And little Liza, all 10 years old, said to Ashley, we should pray for the woman.
It was an emotional moment where he mm-hmm. showed his true colors. Well, from the Illinois Times, cartoonist Chris Britt has come out with a cartoon up in the upper left-hand corner. It's titled, Kavanaugh's Daughter Says Another Prayer. And it shows the little girl kneeling in front of her bed. And she says, Dear God, forgive my angry, lying, alcoholic father for sexually assaulting Dr. Ford. We're using kids now, the Democrats are, mm-hmm. and their allies, to malign
the liberal media.
Yeah.
No shame.
Yeah.
Pass that on to Walker so he
okay.
can.
Yeah, it's, you know, now what paper was that?
Well, he publishes.
Syndicated?
He's syndicated. He publishes with the Illinois Times.
Yeah. Well, it's completely, completely unfair what's going on, as we mentioned before, with Judge Kavanaugh. Isn't necessarily unprecedented with the Democrats. They did this with Clarence Thomas, with Roy Moore, and with we mentioned Roy Moore earlier. I'm talking about Supreme Court nominees, Judge Robert Bork. You know, I don't have a problem with a senator saying I'm voting no against a Supreme Court the nominee because I disagree with his judicial philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that. That's their prerogative. That's why they vote in the first place. They either vote yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another view on that, which used to be the norm, was that you president selects a Supreme Court nominee, mm-hmm. and he or she, if they don't have any ethical problems that are discovered to be factual, they're voted bipartisan, you know, overwhelmingly. That's been the tradition. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the general counsel of the American Civil Liberties Union
mm-hmm.
in the 80s, I think, or 70s. Maybe it was 70s. The ACLU, far left. And she was voted in like 98 to 2 or something, or 97 sure. to 3.
It's mm-hmm. just become ridiculous.
It is, so it's the constitutional prerogative. Maybe that's prerogative and constitutional. Maybe that's right. Anyway, it's the constitutional right of the President of the United States to select federal judges,
mm-hmm.
including the Supreme Court. And it's only in the last 25, 30 years have the Democrats decided to try not only to vote against a justice, as I say, a potential justice, mm-hmm. as I say, I don't have a problem with that
mm-hmm.
because they have to vote and then they have to answer for their votes.
That's right.
But I think, and this is what Lindsey Graham was saying the other day, he voted for President Obama's two
sure.
Supreme Court nominees because he took the old school view that, you know, if there's nothing, just because I disagree with them philosophically is not a good enough reason to deny the president his appointment. Now, some may say, well, you should have voted against him. Okay, but you get the idea
right.
here.
But
elections have consequences.
Yes, but now it's come to the Democrats not only want to vote no and are going to vote no and would have voted no, as Walker said earlier, even if Brett Kavanaugh was sent down from heaven on national television
right.
for all to see, they would have voted no anyway. They not only want to vote no, they want to personally destroy a man's life.
That's right.
They are doing so.
Because yeah. that's what works.
Right.
Because they don't have the votes to
right.
stop him before
this. Do you think
this.
They're doing this, though, in part to keep anybody else from, in other words,
shot across the bow for the next guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They keep upping the ante, it seems. I remember thinking at the time when Gorsuch was in his hearing and that they were coming against him fairly it was not fair and it was a little dramatic then. I mean, it's a nursery school compared to what Kavanaugh
yeah.
got. And Kavanaugh, I don't know what else is left, but Kavanaugh would probably pale compared to what would happen if President Trump had a
yeah.
shot at Elena Kagan.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, this is a practice run, and
uh-oh.
This is a civil practice run compared to what will happen if Ginsburg retires or passes away.
For the Republican side and for President Trump, here's the best-case scenario to happen in the next 2 years. Pardon me. And that is that Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice replacing Anthony Kennedy. And then Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires. She's an elderly woman, so, I mean, nobody lives forever, right? So, but
she's got an awful lot of pension coming to her and awful lot of travel that she
right,
could be doing.
Right. So let's just say she retires.
Let's say.
Then the president gets to appoint another Supreme Court justice, which would be his second. No, it'd be his third.
It would be his third.
So, but the only way that can happen, the only way you would have the same, if it remains 51-49 in the Senate, you would have the same type situation, I think, playing out here. But the chances of the Republicans increasing their margin in the Senate in November, by the way, the election is November 6th, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Is good. So primarily because the Democrats have like 2 or 3 to 1 chances to lose,
mm-hmm.
right, Walker?
That's right. Multiple.
They have more at risk.
Yeah, there is eight Senate elections in states. Eight Democrats hold eight seats in states where Trump won in 2016.
Right.
And so
the Democrats are vulnerable there.
Yeah, those are going to be the races to watch.
So what I'm saying in here is if the Republicans are able to expand their
increase their margin
to 54-46, then President Trump has some breathing room. And could pretty well appoint anyone he wanted to.
Well, he was supposed to have that now, but here's the thing. I believe if that happens, the Democrats will be even more desperate because the bottom line is they don't run up the white flag ever. If Chuck Schumer was the last Democrat in the Senate, he would be doing something radical. I wanted to play one more clip. We talked about this FBI investigation and this deal that Jeff Flake struck. Ari Fleischer, who's George W. Bush's White House spokesperson at one point in time, he was on Fox, and he had what I thought was a very concise layout of how he believes this this FBI investigation is going to go.
I am highly, highly suspect of this agreement. Neil, here's the problem with it. It's not going to be a week, and everybody knows it. And if you think it's a week, you're fooling yourselves. Here's what's going to happen after a week. Assuming the FBI gets to everybody and talks to everybody, which is a big assumption. As soon as that's done, the Democrats are going to start to scream for more time. They're going to say, but wait a minute, during that 1 week, we got all these new anonymous or some Latin anonymous on the record accusations, even if they're made up, even if they're fabricated. These two need to be looked into. And it never ends because anything that comes in over the transom needs to be looked into. And then once the FBI is ready, the Democrats on the committee are going to say we need the witnesses to appear before us. It's not enough that we have an FBI report and paper. We need to hear from the witnesses. We need to ask them the questions. We have advice and consent. It is so easy to see how this will not end. The Democrats have one goal, and that goal is to get this beyond Election Day.
You agree with that, Walker?
That's exactly right. And it's funny because the Democrats base their what they're going to say and what they do based on what others do and what others say. So if the FBI comes out and says Brett Kavanaugh is guilty of everything, then the Democrats would say, see, that's why we need the FBI. The FBI is the most trustworthy organization in world history. But if the FBI comes out and exonerates Brett Kavanaugh, then the FBI is crooked, being run by Donald Trump, and we need to do the investigation ourselves.
Now, there are some signs that this may be backfiring on the Democrats as far as the upcoming elections come. This is from a poll that was just out by, I didn't bring in who did the poll, but this is a poll where they asked the question, has the Supreme Court confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh made you more or less likely to vote for Claire McCaskill. She is a Democrat senator running in Missouri, which Trump won. She's one of those that are considered on one of those six or seven that you mentioned that are up for election. So the voters were asked, is the way that the Brett Kavanaugh hearing has gone made you more or less likely to vote for McCaskill? And it's broken down by category, by town, by Republican or Democrat, by gender and by ideology. But it's interesting to see that, for example, by gender, women who you think would be all over this, women say they are 47% less likely to vote for her to vote for McCaskill because of the way they've treated this. 47% of women say they are less likely to vote for McCaskill. 42% say say they're more likely. So it's upside down. Women in Missouri in this poll are seeing that it was unfair, and what has happened are making them less likely to vote for McCaskill.
Well, that's reflected. I would say that's probably reflected nationally. I know I've seen some polls where actually women are more skeptical of other women's stories. Mm-hmm. Than men are. Men are more susceptible to believe women even without facts. And then I spoke to a lady yesterday at a church event, and she said, I watched the Kavanaugh hearing, and I felt embarrassed for Brett Kavanaugh and how he was being treated and the things he was being accused of. So I think you're seeing that a lot.
I spent the whole weekend being a little bit embarrassed about our whole system of government after it's last week. It was.
I think you got a point, though, here. If the Republican side needed something to energize them.
Mm-hmm. This may be doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it's caused a lot of people to be emotional and angry who maybe weren't so before before the Kavanaugh hearing. So maybe may have backfired, I guess you should say, on the Democrats. Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. And you want to watch the show, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues and watch our show here on American Family Radio. Former FBI agent, directors have chimed in as much politically in the past as James Comey has, but I can't remember that happening.
No.
They're mostly try to stay apolitical and they don't comment on politics per se, but James Comey, you know, feels a need to comment on the Kavanaugh probe by the FBI and say there needs to be no time limit on this. It just seems like to me, maybe somebody would say, well, duh, Tim. And that's okay. I've been done that way before. But, Walker, it just seems like to me this is James Comey is at war here with President Trump. He can and so he feels the need to jump in on the Kavanaugh hearing.
Yeah, it's not unusual for FBI directors and former FBI agents to weigh in on maybe legal cases that are going on, high-profile cases. but it's unusual for them to take highly partisan positions, and especially in a sitting administration. So it is unusual. But I read a headline on Drudge yesterday about how people are making these book authors, both anti-Trump books and pro-Trump books, these authors are making so much money just writing about Trump. And so I think there's money to be made if you come out staunchly against President Trump, whether it be TV appearances.
So you think James Comey may be cashing in on this?
Oh, I think he is. And then you saw where the concern was raised about John Brennan making money off of TV deals using his security clearance. And so there's obviously money to be made if you're against
on both sides.
Trump. And if you're for him, yeah, both sides.
All right, what about this Kanye West story, Steve?
I was going to bring some sound in. I decided that because it was not very understandable, it was a little muddled.
Can I explain?
Go ahead.
Let me just, before you get into this, because there's maybe people listening to us, they don't know who I'm talking about, although most people have heard the name. Kanye West is he's known around the world, right? He is basically the Elvis of rap, if you will. And am I right, Walker?
Yes, you're
this?
Right.
And so he's, you know, I don't know how long he's been popular, 10 years maybe or something like that.
And much more popular since he became hooked up
Kim
with one of the Kardashians.
Yes, he's married to one of the Kardashian women. So he's, you know, he gets a lot of attention everywhere he goes and whatever he says. Well, he's... wears a MAGA hat, right?
Yes.
And he says he supports President Trump or admires him or
well,
what?
So this was on Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
And it was between sections that aired, so it wasn't on the air. You know, it's a live show. And during the commercials, apparently they do things to entertain the audience members. So he shows up in his MAGA hat and starts talking things that you wouldn't normally necessarily hear from someone of the Hollywood entertainment type of a thing. What he says, part of what he said, and kind of singing, I want to cry right now. Black man in America is supposed to keep what we're feeling inside right now. The blacks want always Democrats. You know, it's like they planned they did. He's singing this, so...
Right.
This
yeah.
is singing this? This
He's
is a rap?
This. Yeah, or something like that. It doesn't do justice in my voice, but to take their fathers out to home, to take their fathers out of the home and put them on welfare. Does anybody know about that plan?
Mm.
And so he goes on, he says, how could they ask me, how could you like Trump? He's a racist. Well, if I was concerned about racism, I would have moved out of America a long time ago. So he's saying all this stuff that's pro-Trump. He's getting a little negative feedback, should we say, from the audience?
Yeah.
From the audience?
From those that are in the audience, that are watching Saturday Night Live. They didn't appreciate it necessarily, but he's standing his ground for what he believes. So.
Yeah, and I think he's not the only one who, you know, typically wouldn't be for a Republican president.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these policies that President Trump's doing on economics specifically, I mean, these are bipartisan, if you will. These affect all Americans.
They're benefiting the African-American community.
Exactly. I think the jobless numbers, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, are at a record low for African-American unemployment.
I think Hispanic as well, but yes.
Somebody explain to me here, Steve, maybe you can. What is it about President Trump that's racist?
He made some statements early on in the campaign. The one that comes up mostly is where he was talking about the wall, funding the wall. And what he said in relation to that is Mexico is not sending their best people over. They are sending rapists and murderers over and some good people.
Yeah. Here's what the media does to turn President Trump into a racist. They take his policy positions and his statements, and they make a giant leap from, okay, you want to keep some Hispanic people out of our country, therefore you're against all Hispanics.
Right.
And then they do the same with...
That's not fair.
No, it's not.
I know you're going... Another Tim moment here, but I guess there's been nothing in President Trump's past. He's got a lot of things that you could fault him for, but... Until he got to be the Republican candidate for the racism, there was no racism charge.
No.
We're never brought up about President Trump. So I don't get this constant. He's a racist. He's a racist. He's a racist.
Right.
Thing.
Well, it's the Democrats, just like they're doing with Brett Kavanaugh. He's a sexual predator. He's a sexual assault person. They use these very outlandish, very strong terms to define their enemies, their political enemies.
Yeah.
And I think it does play on the emotions of the American people.
Well, the Charlottesville comments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But what he was saying, what they do is they take the worst possible interpretation
of
what the president has said, and then they spin it to whatever it is the narrative is. And the narrative is you have to portray him as a racist because—
Correct.
If you can make Donald Trump a racist, then it negates the good he's doing for the African-American and Hispanic communities economically. So we just call him a racist day and night, night and day, and hopefully it sticks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the president couldn't have been more articulate during those times, but he's just a guy who lets it fly.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, he just lets it fly. He just says it like he sees it, calls him like he sees him. And, you know, with that situation in Charlottesville, he was saying there's bad people,
good people on both sides.
And you know, I saw the picture of the Antifa guy. There was an African American male, an Antifa guy, at the Charlottesville rally with a blowtorch,
going after
people. And if you're the president and you see that, you're going, well, that's not right either. Mm-hmm. You know, that's bad either. So, it's just I think that the left has a narrative they want to put him in. And how can we hurt President Trump? Well, let's just call him a racist every day. See if that sticks.
Right.
You know?
They're out of their mind.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bringing your the issues you brought forth to Walker. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Ed is not here, so do you think a guy who's not here?
He could.
Ed.
Thank you for being not here.
Like an honor, Ed.
Thank you for not being here today, Ed.
Ed Battagliano. I'm just picking on Brother Ed. All right, folks, keep listening to American Family Radio. We got a great lineup of shows coming along this afternoon, and then I'll be back with Walker and Ray and Steve tomorrow. Yep. See you then.